Let us pray. O thou great and eternal God, from whom we come, and unto whom our spirits return, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Even in the midst of life, O God, we are confronted by death. Our hearts are heavy at the sudden loss of one we hold dear, and we struggle to find meaning in this event. Enable us so to put our trust in thee, that our spirits may be still and our hearts comforted. Lift up our eyes that we may see life, our own and that of our brother, in the light of eternity. Grant us thankful hearts that we may truly worship thee for the useful life of thy servant Ellis Holland. Renew thy spirit in our midst that we may celebrate his gifts to us, and in so doing find grace and strength for thy service, which is our calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. On the eve of the Easter recess, our community suffered a grievous loss in an accident which took the life of Dr. Ellis W. Holland. President Lally and Dr. Willard Brown of the Wake Forest Baptist Church led in funeral services in this chapel on Tuesday of last week. Although many students returned to the campus for those services, others were unable to be present. We therefore thought it fitting that on today, the first day of class following the recess, that we should devote this chapel period to a service of thanksgiving for the life of our friend and teacher. We were especially glad that Gertha and Faye could be here with us today. I'd like to thank those who are participating in this service, Dr. Good at the organ, Mrs. Mara in the men's chorus, Elizabeth Barnes, who will be sharing in a statement of thanksgiving for the teacher, and Professor Donald E. Cook, who will be helping us to articulate our feelings of gratitude to God for Ellis Holland as a colleague. The service will proceed without interruption as it appears in the order of worship. Will you share with me as we read together Psalm 102 and 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17? Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to thee. Do not hide thy face from me in the day of my distress. Incline thy ear to me, answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is smitten like grass and withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cleave to my flesh. I am like a vulture of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. All the days my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink because of thy indignation and anger. For thou hast taken me up and thrown me away. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But thou, O Lord, art enthroned forever. Thy name endures to all generations. Thou wilt arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come, for thy servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. The nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory, for the Lord will build up Zion. He will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their supplication. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet unborn may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height from heaven. The Lord looked down at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that men may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise. When peoples gather together in kingdoms to worship the Lord, he has broken my strength at mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not hence in the midst of my days, thou whose years endure through all generations. Although thou didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands, they will perish, but thou dost endure. They will all wear out like a garment. Thou changest them like raiment, and they pass away, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servant shall dwell secure. Their posterity shall be established before thee. And from Paul's second letter to Timothy, some verses close to the close of his ministry. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my sufferings, what befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. May God bless to us these words from his scripture.
Last spring, about this time, Dr. Ellis Holland asked me to be his grader. I accepted because I knew that I would be more than a student who graded papers for him. I knew that, although I was just a second-year student, Dr. Holland would treat me as a colleague who taught classes with him. I would be his friend who graded papers with him, a friend who sought to meet the needs of my fellow students with him. This morning, I would like to share with you a few of the things that I appreciated very deeply about Ellis Holland. Whenever a student entered Dr. Holland's classroom late, Ellis always paused in his teaching to welcome that student in. No truant shadow had entered his room, but a valuable human being, and Ellis Holland stopped to acknowledge that profound truth. Whenever Dr. Holland returned exam papers at the end of the semester, They were returned in envelopes addressed to Reverend Boyd Gray, Reverend Millie Potts, Reverend Mike Queen. It mattered not that that student might never have preached a single sermon, nor yet been ordained. Those envelopes were still addressed to Reverend Rose Pearson, Reverend John Green. Ellis was so concerned not to use sexist language that sometimes his grammatical constructions could be rather comical. In his zeal to include both man and woman, both him and her, his sentence structure was sometimes unwieldy, sometimes amusing. Always appreciated, always affirmative of me and my personal dignity and worth as a woman, a person. On Friday, April 6th, I talked with Dr. Holland in his office. During those moments, he expressed joy in his daughter, Faye, loving concern for his wife, Gertha, appreciation for me and my work with him, interest in his senior students whose papers would require early grading, and delight in the springtime. I asked him how I needed to change my grading and what ways I needed to improve it. Ellis hastened to assure me that I had done well. He had been pleased with my grading first semester. He had changed only a few grades, a few C pluses to B minuses, a few B pluses to A minuses. Ellis didn't say to me, "Elizabeth, you discourage people when you give them B pluses and C pluses." Rather, he gave me credit for being able to figure it out for myself. That action was characteristic of Ellis Holland's teaching method. He never hammered anything into our heads. He presented us with ideas, offered the lure to deeper, more insightful thought, and left it with us. In Ellis Holland, I was given a role model for the redemptive personality. I and many other students were touched, affirmed, transformed by his redemptive presence. I and they shall be eternally grateful for Ellis Wayne Holland, Jr.
Ellis Holland is my brother in Christ. The events of this past week have altered that relationship, but not destroyed it. We are brothers in Christ. I really need Ellis's skill with linguistics to say what I feel this morning. Mere words seem shallow vessels to hold or to express the tidal wave of feelings that well up within my soul. I'm grateful for having known Ellis Holland as a friend for over 20 years. I remember his patience in difficulty, his quiet strength in suffering, his humor among tedium, his appreciation of others' accomplishments, and his understanding of their failures. All of these qualities were part of Ellis's character. They were, in point of fact, his very essence. He was a philosopher with a twinkle in his eye, a jack of all trades with a gadget for every job. A caring person who knew how to forgive and to love. As a colleague, Ellis brought to our faculty a zest for learning and massive intellectual competency that had few equals. He rejoiced in study, in thinking, in writing, in teaching. His interest in the case study method illustrates his constant search for innovative ways of teaching. Indeed, one of his cases will appear in the 1979 edition of the volume Cases for Theological Education. His recent studies in the German language constitute another gauge of the breadth of his scholarship. And his attendance, membership in and attendance at the meetings of learned societies in his field reflect his commitment to scholarship. Ellis loved Southeastern Seminary, and he loved his colleagues. He rejoiced in our fellowship together as a faculty, and only last month had agreed to serve on a committee to study the feasibility of a second joint trustee faculty administration retreat. Ellis did his share of the labor required in this place. He was teaching a load of 9 hours this semester and served on several faculty committees. As a churchman, Ellis Holland was a dedicated teacher of ministers and a sincere preacher of the gospel. He had served both as full-time pastor and as interim pastor of churches, being equally at home with large and small congregations. He loved the Church of Jesus Christ, and the persons to whom he ministered knew he loved them. They returned that love with affection toward him and dedication toward the Lord. Although his field was philosophy of religion, it was Dr. Holland who taught the study of Exodus at the Wake Forest Baptist Church in January of 1978. To remember Ellis Holland is to be thankful unto God. During the past several days, somewhat before I knew of my participation in this service, in the hours of the morning or when my mind would move into reverie, I found thoughts and feelings and emotions welling up that seemed to demand to be expressed, but for which I could find no expression. For several days, I resisted writing down what I felt, but finally, I wrote these words. We thank thee, Lord, for a brother kind, in whom Christ's Spirit dwelt divine. A servant was he of God and man, accepting full well the cross's demand. In quietness, he taught us our Christ to share. Amid life's demands, he dared to care. Oh, may our thanks to thee become a living lesson for all to see in this world and eternity.
Thanks, Jim. blessed be.